You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, this is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Hey, what's up? This is Chadis from Hell Yeah and Mudvayne.
This is Ron Bumblefoot Fall.
Hey, this is Barb Ann Wild.
And this is Daniela Clark.
This is Johnny from Art of Dying.
Hey, this is Mixie from Stitched Up Heart.
Hey, this is Nick Reese from Joyous Bowl.
Hey, this is Josh from Bad Flower. Welcome aboard. The ship making way is fuck!
Hey, this is Ralph Sutton.
This is Aaron Jones.
What's going on, gang? Zach Wild here. And you're listening to Making Waves, the Shipwrecked Podcast.
Making Waves.
Welcome to Making Waves, the Shiprock Podcast. This is episode 56. We have some very interesting guests today. We'll get to here in a moment. Just to let you know that Making Waves is the fastest growing rock podcast in the world as we speak right now, with over 6,000 new subscribers. And we couldn't help but thank the people at Sound Talent Media for bringing us into the family and helping us get the word out. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome, well, kind of a break from what we've been doing lately. So this is a nice change. And personally, we'll get to it. It's a band I've actually known about now for, God, going on 20 years. Can I say that? 20 years? Anyway, hey. Guys, welcome, please. I don't miss it. Horrorcore Icons, Twisted. We want to welcome Matt Rock from Monoxide from Twisted. And gentlemen, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Justin, for having us.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, you know what? This is really Chad's idea because you guys are all Detroit boys. So this is really a nice little thing you got going on here. And it's great to see that community really does support each other. It's an amazing thing. And we'll get into that later. But listen, we want to talk about what you guys got going on right now. A new album coming out. We'll get into. And one of the singles that we're really interested in is the song Envy.
Yeah.
Our friend Spencer from Ice Nine Kills and Richard Fossey. And who did the production on that, if you could fill me in?
Johnny Andrews.
From Motionless in White.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his name and his fingers and a few things. Like, absolute mad scientist genius.
It's amazing. It's before we went on air, we were talking about the idea of Halloween Every Day, the old Ministry song. And last week, having Bill Moseley on with you guys now, and then some of the characters just mentioned, Spencer Jonathan?
Huh?
From Motionless in White.
Johnny Andrews.
Okay, yeah. So we have this conglomeration now of musical artists who are simply fascinated with the macabre style of the genre. So yeah,
absolutely.
So I guess we could start off by just saying, what in the world went through your minds 20 years ago when you said we're going to do Twisted and this is the direction we're going to go in? We're going to talk about the kind of the darker side of things. You're not going to talk about the street hustle. You're going to talk more about the Ed Geins of the world.
Yeah. We found out that horror movies were our escape, like, to whatever shit was going on in our world, whether it was poverty or being made
parents
fun,
or whatever.
Yeah, right. And Paul and I and Brian, another friend of ours, would like do these sleepover movie bashes where we would go to Blockbuster and rent the most obscure boxed VHS movies and watch them. And like, that was our peace of mind. Like, those were our songs. Like Evil Dead Part 2 is like a song for the soul. Like, we know it word by word. So many of these movies, it's like we spent so much time with them, whether it be as an escape mechanism or just something that we really genuinely enjoyed, but we found something in it that was great for us. And when we had the opportunity to do music, it seemed only natural to kind of like fold that in, I guess, is the best way to say it. Am I right, Paul? What would you say?
More use it as the separator, because we knew, we seen whatever from our neighborhood, there were 15 rap acts and everybody was pretty much talking about the same type of things. And Jamie, Brian, and I could have did the same thing. But we wanted to go somewhere where nobody was going that we had seen yet. And that's where the love of the horror movie, that's the core Twisted. That's the core of House of Crazies. That's another podcast. But yeah, absolutely.
But all all dominoes in the effect as we go to the right. Absolutely. And I think that it was like, it was a no brainer because we all, that was like second nature to us. So as we were experiencing, learning, performing, or trial and error, or whatever you want to call it with music, like it just seemed natural to have those be like the topics or the center focus of what we would write about, sing about, and that kind of stuff. And it was awesome. And it still is. And it's fresh. It's like a time machine. Right. You go back and listen to it because at its time, now a lot of people do that, but at its time, it was a very like a rare thing. And maybe that's why it's cool. You know what I mean? Like when you listen to those old Misfits records and you're like, you know, man, it goes back. You know what I mean? It's right. It hits. It still hits. And that's what's up.
The quote unquote horrorcore genre should be, it should have a section in the Grammys by now. It is some of the most creative, most innovative people. Like, I mean, I swear to God, I think it's the most slept on genre in music. Biggest kept secret in music is horrorcore or the horror music.
Right.
And you're starting to see it drift into the mainstream a little bit more with bands like Spencer with Ice Nine Kills, which is awesome. Yep. And Chris Motionless. And
for sure.
I think it should be a little more celebrated than it is, but who am I?
I agree.
Just a guy trying to be a captain of a boat.
Let me ask you. Does it give you, when you kind of work in a realm of fantasy, and we'll take horror and put it to fantasy, even though we're very well aware of the realistic horrors that we see daily via the news or however, does it give you a little bit wider berth artistically to kind of work in a framework of something that's more fantasy driven, that are kind of our dreams and our nightmares? And it is like the idea, the reality of the street hustle that you spoke about other bands always singing about.
Yes and no. I mean, eventually it all becomes a nightmare. So you have to find a way to keep that evolving, to keep it interesting, or it's just another nightmare. You know what I mean? And that's our job. Our job is to make sure that every time you hear a nightmare from us, you've never heard anything like it. It's nothing like the 40 nightmares you heard that we gave you before that. That's what I think we bring is that right there. We're constantly trying to one up the last one. And that's I think that's a lot of why we're here, is the content doesn't live here. We're never content.
No, word up. Our integrity to always raise the bar is always on point. That's definitely real. And I think that it's like our way of like, you know, you get pissed and you just want to go on this stab fest and we write a song called Kill Somebody. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's you're venting, and if that can be something that someone else who's having a bad day puts that on, that's their audio medicine. They get it out of their system and they go back about their day. Then it is kind of therapeutic at the end of the day, which we didn't really intend it for that. I don't want to say, you know what I mean? Let's be real. But it's awesome to see that other people have found that in the end product. You know what I mean? We intended to entertain and do what we love. And we were just hoping other people would love it, which, you know, thankfully so, but like to see how far it's come and where we are now, it's been an amazing journey and it's just starting to get interesting. Like, really? Holy shit. You want to talk about guys that are still doing it and happy to be doing it? Like, yeah, man, we still got that. And I love that.
Yeah. There's a certain sophistication to modern horror, whether it's in things like The Quiet Place and things like that. Right. But you know, Jamie, I'm looking behind you and I see a picture of Linda Blair's Reagan.
Yep.
And do you guys, when you're writing in about these certain themes or whatever, is it easier to kind of go for the slasher mentality or do you allow yourselves to go into the more the deeply kind of like connected horror that you would have found in The Exorcist, where it's a little bit more of a higher level thinking?
What a great question, man.
I know. I'm like,
if we say that all the time, we could just be the yuck it up, hack and slash. I can't all the time, but we try to find the complexities in horror. You know what I mean? The not so obvious at times.
Sure.
Things that maybe you weren't, you know, I say the word fear and it could mean five different things to five different people.
Very true.
That's oh God, that is what a great question.
Plus, it was awesome.
Thank you.
That was great. I was gonna say, plus, it's awesome with like, you know, with my like, I guess you want to call it a religious background of being Catholic and learning some of the things that I learned, and as I grew into an adult, things that I questioned. things that, you know what I mean? That, and Paul has different religious beliefs. We don't have to get into all that, but what I'm saying is, it's like, we used each other as a springboard back and forth to be able to vent our ideas and our thinking. So that's how we could get somewhere like Reagan, or things that would scare us to our core, because in some senses we were more, the haunted house vibe, you know, the demon
paranormal
kind of vibe. And those were more, I want to say, more really scary than just a person with a knife and a mask. You know what I mean? Which again, Ken, I'm not, no discredit to that, because that works and I love it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, but like, there was something about, there was something about that, you know, it's because you believe a certain way, or you were open to the Ouija board and in progressive entrapment, and now you're possessed by a spirit from another world that hasn't even been human. And you're like, whoa, that's like, you want to talk about a psychological onion of layers.
Right. Yeah.
What a great conceptual album that would make if you guys went into the faith, how your faith is conflicted when you reach these levels of evil, as you speak about.
Yeah. I mean, we get to tap into some stuff. We did like a song called Karma, and we talk about like, are you going to heaven or hell? And just, you know, like vibes where we get to express how we think and whether it strengthens our who we are, or it helps us deal with things that we just don't have answers to. I think both of those things are great.
I think that's where we are in our lives. Like, there's just, you can't, there's no answers for the shit we have questions for.
For sure.
And there never has been.
But we're still asking.
Well, yeah. I want to ask this, in all this complexity of what we're talking about, from the tangible version of horror to the psychological version of horror, mm-hmm. there's two people that are writing words, melodies, mm-hmm. the songs, and the process that you two go through from conception to end. What is that like, all of these years? Has it changed from day one to where it is now? And when you're thinking about the story, how do you banter with each other?
I think through trust, it's different. You know, in the beginning, we wanted to be together, make sure each other, you know, was
for sure
where we needed to be. But now it's more like, Madrox has a mind of darkness, right? And it is my job to go in there and plot that out for the world to hear or see. And a lot of times that's what it is. And
I love that.
Our process has always been... right, no.
I love you, bro. That's good
shit. If he says a song title and there's a beat, then here's what the song is about. He will write it, I will write it. They will be completely different interpretations of whatever that subject is. That's another thing that I think is great about us, is it's not two guys just talking about the same thing, just same thing. Everything has a layer to it. He's going to give you a side of it. I'm going to give you a different side of it. And then there's your side. You know what I mean?
And so subjective.
That's awesome.
That's what makes it truly twisted sometimes, because in some senses, I was just going to say about the evolution, I just had to say this because I know this will make Paul smile, but back in the days, we used to write to people's songs and try to block their words out while we wrote to their beats, because truth be told, we didn't have instrumentals and we didn't know how to play guitar. You know, we beat on the table, but that got old. You know what I mean? Yep. But when we find, when people started making instrumentals, oh, that changed the game. And when you started, you know, messing with producers and things got actually serious, It was easier to formulate words. And another thing that's cool is a lot of the times Paul and I will sit down and we'll talk about a concept or a title. And then literally we both take the song home and we do what we do to it. And then when we come together, when we put it together, it's like sometimes what we say conflicts each other. Sometimes what we say is exactly the same. And I just think it's neat to have like, it's like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. There's literally something for everyone and whatever side you see it from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're literally doing exercises in dexterity, in mental clarity, in togetherness, all of that. At the same time, all these years later, you're literally practicing your craft every single time instead of coming to it, like you said, out of necessity. You were rapping other people's shit because you had to have something to figure this out.
For sure.
And then that's a fucking practice. I mean, I can't even think about doing that right now if I were to write lyrics. And so you just been going through this and this mental jungle gym, if you will, for 20 years with each other. That's fucking dope.
It's funny, Paul, you mentioned that Jamie's darkness, you'd have to kind of go in there, pull it out, decipher it. It reminded me of the relationship between Hannibal Lecter and Clarice Starling. Is it Starling?
Yeah.
That kind of like, you know, hello, Clarice. And then you're just going to break each other down, but you're both trying to get to the root cause of what this thing is.
Right. Yeah. I know it's in there. I just have to formulate it and bring it.
You're both hunting Buffalo Bill. You just don't. You need each other to get to that point.
Wendigo.
Yes.
We're both hunting.
Yes, absolutely. It's like a key that goes into a, and he's got the top part and I have the bottom part. And click, and now you can open the door. That's how we've always seen it. Just like that. As long as we're together, there's no door we can't unlock if we want to unlock.
Very true.
Because we are the key.
More like
man.
A friendship heart.
It absolutely takes both of us to bring to the table. I mean, whether it be from the vibe that we're trying to go, and I think it's also cool how we celebrate and support each other's ideas to do other things to keep us challenged and engaged. We decided we wanted to do like a trap record. We decided we wanted to do this, we do these ventures where we go into these things so we can just basically like an exercise, keep ourselves seasoned and ever ready to do what we do, whether it be whatever kind of music to keep that. It's good for us because I just feel it keeps us sharp. And there's not nothing that we can't do. And I love that. That's another thing, too, that's super important to me about us.
You know, Chad mentioned
Cracker Barrels, white cheddar.
Chad mentioned y'all's friendship. I mean, friendship alone, just at a base level for over 20 years, is sometimes difficult to keep together. But in a creative process, you guys are like working on album 17, I believe.
Sounds about right.
What did you guys find about yourselves that you're able to keep this thing intact? Not only just on a humane level, but also a creative level, because many acts, you guys have been ups and downs. You've gone through different labels. You've gone through different changes. You've gone through evolutions of your audience, where you begin, where you are now. And even genres, you're working in the rock genre now, a little bit more prominently now. What's the secret, guys? Help other bands figure out how to live it through this kind of this life and this business.
I think as far as friendship, me and Jamie have been friends over 35 years. A lot of people might not know that. We're vampires also, and we're over 100 years old, but that's another podcast.
That's old.
But nah. I think through time, You pay attention to a person and what makes them them. And either you can accept that person for every bit of who they are, or you can't, and you can just be phony about it. Now, that phoniness is going to run out, be it 5 years, be it 10 years. Eventually, it's going to get hard to play that game. I think that there's just a genuineness. Like, I care about him. I think about him every single day. Like, he's my life. A big, immense part of my life has been for a long time.
I catch you, bro. For real. Absolutely.
Right. It's the same thing. I respect him for whatever he thinks, whatever he believes. If I think he's going off the deep end, I'll step in. Whatever he does with it,
he does
it the same way. It's Amen. Like, it's just about being genuine, man. There's for no real. Phoniness. If there's something going on, you pick your battles at times. Like, sure, I don't want him to wear black socks and white shoes sometimes. But I might not say anything. But I think that's what it is. When you know and you're just being genuine and you're being real, then I think it's easy. It's not hard. It's not hard to be Jamie's friend. It's hard to be his business partner sometimes. And it's hard to be mine because that's just how we are.
Like, but that's the thing, though. I love that too. It's like I respect the stuff about you that I don't like, or I respect the things about you. Like, I love the fact that I love you are who you are, and no matter what we do, that's important to what we do. Just like with me, I know there's things about me that you're just like, oh my God, shut up already. But you're like, it's who he is. It's who he is. dude, and I totally get everything you say, and that's so fresh. And it's like, at the end of the day, and it is hard to be business partners with us because we have such erratic ways about us, and we are so very passionate that if you get in, it's like making a deal with the devil when you hook up with us. I'll tell you what, we're on that ass. We can go, well, no, 1 million. But it's like, you know, it's like, because we are so very passionate, and it's like, you know, and if the devil be in the details, we are extremely detailed and passionate about what we do. So it's like, man, we are going to watch that ass like a hawk. We're going to call you out of your shit and support you and uphold you up high when you're fucking rocking it, you know? So it's part of being a support system, and that's what we are for each other. And I think that's why we've been this far in the game, and we'll continue to go as long as
we're blessed. If I say, I don't like that t-shirt idea, he doesn't not invite me to his daughter's birthday. You see what I'm saying? It's like one doesn't have anything to do with the other. It's just a different
system. It's funny. One word I would have never attached initially to Twisted would be vulnerability.
Yeah.
And you guys have plenty of that. Yeah.
Immensely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the biggest, I'm telling you, people have a misconception of who and what Jamie and I truly are.
True. Sure.
It's off of hearsay, or you think you might know, or whatever. But like I said, if you just get a minute to talk to us, you'll see we're just Jamie and Paul at the end of the day, man. We're doing something that we love, to do. And we still get to do this. We've watched countless people disappear, and somehow we're still here. Can't believe it.
Can I ask you, when you guys talk about being here, that obviously evolves from an ever-changing audience. People are just discovering you, which is always refreshing. It's like, you know, Iron Maiden, and you're still seeing 15-year-olds out there now, like going, shit, their dads brought them. This is great. New generation.
Right.
Have you guys seen a turnover maybe in like, you know, from the early kind of Juggalo kind of like tribe to like maybe a new audience for you guys, or are they stuck with you the whole way? I know there's some that will hang on.
Some
peel off and you get newcomers. You guys find in the last few years, you've gotten a whole new audience at some point.
I would say that we've
not a whole new audience.
I was going to say, we've seen a whole
lot of people. Some newcomers, I should say. I misspoke.
We've seen, no, you didn't misspeak. We're trying to figure it out ourselves as well. We've seen.
Technically, he did because it's Juggalo, Justin, not Juggalo. I just want to say that.
Oh, God damn it.
Sorry, man.
No.
Hey, did you not hear about the coffee and the weed? Get off of Justin's back. God damn it. Give him a plate.
Cut him some slack.
What did I say? Juggalo?
You said Juggalo.
No.
It's Juggalo.
He said, I just thought you were having fun with it, man. You were being
coming from the French aspect. That's the French way to say it.
It is fair.
Juggalo.
Yes. Yeah. Giving more respect.
I want to say that we've seen an influx of listeners, of people, of people who enjoy what we do since we've done the Warped Tour. And since we put ourselves in positions to be on platforms that broadcast us to more people. For example, what we're doing right now, you know, a million years ago, we would have never done this. And that may have been a reason why we got the results we got. You know what I mean? So, but much like true businessmen and much like Jamie and Paul in our story, we don't stop learning. We are ever growing. And we are always willing to keep pushing forward for the sake of Twisted, for the people who were there since day one or just came on yesterday. If you represent us, we represent you.
We can't control who likes us, and we can't control who don't like us. All we can do is be us and see what happens.
We can celebrate the people who do, though. And I love that like when people say, I never heard of you guys before, but they're playing you on the radio station in my town. And I just found your catalog. What the hell, man? You know, it's like it's fun for people to go back and find that discography and stuff like that. And it's like, and it's fun for some people to just jump in at their jump point and go to the right. Whatever's your flavor, man. As long as you show up and rep for us, we got you.
Can you imagine being an 18-year-old, hadn't heard of Twisted, heard his band, like you mentioned, just turned on the radio. I'm going to go check out what they've done. And then you go, oh, holy shit, I'm going to spend the next year with this catalog. It's not like I'm putting one album in. Right. I'm like, that's like going, who's Led Zeppelin? Oh, they got this album out. And you're like, I'll see you next year. I'm going to be hanging out in my stereo.
You know,
that's insane.
That must be amazing for a kid to kind of walk into that riches.
We hope it's not overwhelming. We hope it's not overwhelming. We like to selectively pick key points where we feel if you're looking to revisit and, you know, in the past and some bring you right up to par, you know, like previously seen on, you know, that kind of shit.
Right
there, you know. But yeah, man, each one of those are important to us. We say they're like our children and shit. You know what I mean? They're creations of Jamie and Paul that we put out into the universe. So it's like, it's fresh to know that even though maybe they didn't have their initial just dues, so to speak, but they will still be appreciated every step up the ladder, every run up the, you know, however you see it or whatever, but like they will still get their just dues and appreciation because people will go back and find them and they'll be celebrated. That's what it's all about, is people listening to the shit we put out and enjoying it.
It's always so interesting that...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's very interesting that I think we have to give... There's a certain sophistication to listeners now where they can say, hey, look, I understand these guys wrote this album 20-odd years ago. And that's where they were artistically, but now they've grown, they're more professional, there's certain things they learned, they've discovered who they are, what their sound is. So it's always really interesting. I think, you know, there's always these people like, it's like the Metallica thing. Well, it doesn't sound like Master Puppets anymore. I'm like, well, Master Puppets is always there for you if you need that, but you have to let them grow. It's like going some 18-year-old, you seem like at 50. Dude, I like you better when you're 18. I'm like going, well, gee, thank you for insulting the last 32 years of my life.
That's you nice to people. They're like, hey, oh,
real though. Those are real things. Those are absolutely.
Thanks. What a kick in the dick. Like, I've made 11 records after that one. And cruel, somehow
cruel. Make a grown man cry. Cruel as school children, man. Just
take me in the right and the damn ding. It's like a good a show. You know what I mean? You watch the first season and you see the progression. By the fourth season, the lighting's better. They got better makeup people on set. They have better camera people and that kind of progression. I think if you listen to Twisted at Most Tasteless and just jumped to the one that comes out September 10th, Unlikely Prescription.
Nice move.
You will be like, there's no possible way this is the same two guys. That's what you would say.
Let's segue to this new record then, right? Because you have a record coming out.
Hey, on Chad, September 10th. before we go into, I need to do a quick commercial break, Chad, and then we'll go into that. And by then we'll be going to Facebook Live. So it should be a nice little right on the nuggets. You've been listening to Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast. Not only do we put on this weekly podcast for you rock fans, And we also put on a really kick-ass cruise called Shiprocked. You go to shiprocked.com to check us out. And we are sailing in January 2022. So go to shiprocked.com and see what cabins we have available. What we got going on. Our lineup consists of Lamb of God, I Prevail, and many, many others, including Motionless and White.
So, nice.
Tag in there. There you go. Nice. Anyway, and we're live to Facebook. So everyone, welcome from Facebook land. We are here with Monoxide. And Matt Rocks from Twisted. Mm-hmm. So you guys do it now.
What up, Fache Book?
Oh, there you go. Nice. Look at that. Look, he's French. He's saying it in the French way.
That's fine.
See, it's all about segues.
There we go. Welcome, Facebook.
My doobies with the babies out.
If you guys have some questions for Twisted, please put that in the thread. We'll get to those, and you guys might win a prize. So we're going to continue on with our conversation. And we're going to talk about the band's new album. The guy's new album.
The guy's
band. Man, so, I mean, I'll be back together. Though we are the slowly band. Turning into a band.
You are.
Shout out to Draven, our drummer, the best drummer in the world, man. Hell yeah.
Yes, we and just worked. We worked Derek Obscure, and now we have a lead guitar.
We did. Shout out Derek
for the first time at Riff Fest. Right is where we unveil that greatness.
Yeah, man.
Had rehearsals, nailed them. Oh God, slowly but surely, becoming the rock version of Parliament Funkadelic. There's gonna be like 40 people up there, a goddamn spaceship blowing around.
Dressed like Big Bird. Yeah,
I love it. Holy shit, so good, so fucking good.
Jamie's in knee-high snakeskin dragon boots. I'm sorry.
Before we went live, we were talking about how if you were a new listener and you were to
stumble upon, for instance, Envy, that's on the radio right now, right? I think it's been on. And you guys, that song's been crushing, too, if I remember correctly.
Vice Nine Kill and Richard Moore's Positive.
Yeah. And it's been on the radio charts for 7 weeks, rock radio charts, which before this era of the band, I don't know if Twisted had ever went to the rock radio charts. So
no, it would always be alternative.
It would.
But
I was going to say,
they know we're coming.
Yeah. And then here, if I'm this kid that's listening to the radio or gentleman that's listening to the radio, and I'm like, well, who the fuck is this? This is awesome. And now we're right. to go onto your Spotify page and be like, oh, what the fuck? This band's been around for a while. And they've transitioned from one. I mean, it's all in the same exact house, right. but there's different rooms, right? So like sure. if you were to go all the way back to 97 and then move all the way forward, you would have seen the two of you heard the two of you growing up.
You would you see the evolution. We didn't grow up on television. We grew up on wax. But legitimately, man. Yeah, you definitely see that. Like in our beginning projects, it was a lot more hip hop oriented, very horror movie inspired. It was very raw. You know what I mean? We would slow the tape down or speed it up to get those creepy vibes. You know what I mean? And it's like as we progress and now work with producers that are like, you know, I want to bring out this or this. And it's like, it's interesting. It's like, we're literally tapping into like a whole new, it's like a whole new world for us, but
new process and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Strangely enough, we feel comfortable in it. And I think that's the best part about it. It's like, we feel comfortable because we've wanted this for so long to continue to do what we do and not just to continue it just for the sake of doing it, but actually to go upward, continuing it and, you know, be on the right path. So it's been a journey and it still is. And we got a lot of fun shit still coming out. So, he said he's been capping right. still.
It's interesting because nowadays we do see a lot of hip hop rap acts, whatever you want to put yourself in, Tech mm-hmm. Nine, mm-hmm. Hyro the Hero. So you have these crossover again. It's like the crossover's back. You know, obviously there was the era of Limp Bizkit and Korn when they enraged and they brought sure. that kind of philosophy in, kind of went away. Kind of coming back, but in a different, much different favor where you guys are legit straight rappers kind of segueing over into this thing to kind of obviously explore what you guys can do in that genre and obviously and opening rock fans up to this new experience as well.
What's crazy is now that we're in the rock world and you look at things like, you know, give me the top 10 hottest songs in rock and six of them have a 12-bar rap verse in it. Like it's different again. Mm-hmm. It changed mm-hmm. again because it wasn't like that. And maybe that made our transition a little more comfortable, like a little warmer. Like, there you go. I'm gonna nuzzle you closer to the bosom. There you go.
Yeah,
you
can
still rap if you want. We want you to rock. We want to hear you rock. Don't be a poser. Let me hear it. So it's very interesting.
No, I agree. I think it's also too because music is ever shaping. And I like how it's getting more and more diverse and you're starting to see like people putting the chocolate in the peanut butter and coming out with great shit. You know what I mean? It's like, you're starting to get a lot of that. And I think that's what's cool. And I think that's kind of what we've always been doing. And but we touched on, I want to say like rock vibes for lack of better terms in our past, it was just never done with a seriousness and never done with anybody's guidance. To say, you know, like, let me help you. Let's do this right. You know what I mean? And those kind of vibes. So it's like, it's been a process and we're like extremely appreciative to everybody who's working with us.
And you guys have been rock fans for like your whole entire lives too. If I remember correctly.
Yeah. Make Paul listen to a lot of stuff, but yeah, me and his parents made him listen to his good share of good old rock and roll, but yeah, no doubt.
No, there's something undeniable about a rock riff and an 808. Like,
oh yeah.
They just go together so well. So yeah,
absolutely. I mean, no, I'm talking about when you used to tease me for my hair metal phase and I just saw everything from Cinderella to, you know,
to Poison, man. To Rat. I remember,
you know, man. Rat still to this day, man. Shout out Stephen Piercy. Yeah, man. For real though. You know, It's who you are. And I think that's another thing about what we do is we keep celebrating that individuality. It's all about who you are. And that's the main thing. And giving people their power back. Like, it's okay to be you. You know, you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to fucking just be you. It's okay.
Be you.
It's funny you mentioned listening to hair metal. I think it proves that you can do what you do and then move into rock and still be authentic, because quite honestly, it is part of what your musical experience and history and education has been. It's not like you guys just been, oh yeah, we just listen to Run DMC our entire lives and we stumbled across this, you know, Shout at the Devil.
For sure.
No, you grew up with that stuff. Like anyone else, it's just sometimes people peel off, they stay the course of Black Sabbath, or they move into, like, you know, as you say, Parliament or something like that.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. Yeah. We stayed and we just happened to be the blend of both of those. Mm-hmm. He would keep me like, oh, listen to this, listen to this. And I'd be like, hey, listen to this, listen to this. And slowly,
it's called Anthrax. It's Belly of the Beast. You have to listen to it.
Right.
Boy,
I've never heard anything like this. It's called the Fat Boys. One of them beatboxes. It's insane. Like,
and it blows my mind. We would trade these audio, you know.
And then you
found it was the shit. Oh, like they were baseball cards.
I do like rock music. Here's what I like about rock music. And you start gearing more towards that, or you're like, oh man, I like this kind of rock music. Then, whatever. So there you have it. Next thing you got a back Led Zeppelin tattoo. The side of your Robert Plant's face, just like that, giving you some of this.
Well, what people tend to forget is the genres are much closer as far as the fan base. They're both heavily early on into tape trading, and that's how you discover new sounds. You wrote through the back of magazines. That's how you found your tribe, your community was through that. So they're so interconnected. They work off different beat levels. However, how many times you heard a rapper take a big fat riff that they discovered and just throw something really incredible over the top of it?
It's true.
Yeah, you're right.
We've seen that a couple times. That was like a lot of the late 90s when people were just taking whatever sound it could, you know what I mean? And dropping it and rapping to it. So that want or that need to try to cross and bring people together. Like, let me show you what I do. And it's like, I think that's why it's been such a healthy relationship with the sounds and stuff like that.
You mentioned community, Justin, and I just wanted to touch on, with this record coming out, you have a lot of, you guys are like the kings of collabs. Like, you do well with your people, you bring your people up onto your record. Before this last record, every record's got somebody from some other camp on it, right? I love that shit. Right. I think that's important for, it's all about how we find things. It's like, there's no more liner notes. So you're kind of like seeing a name, you're like, plus I'll listen to this, right?
So very true.
With this record, you have, like, speaking of community, you have a lot of the rock and metal community guests starring on it. I noticed like the last three songs between Spencer on the, you know, guest vocaling on Envy, and then with Neon Band, you have Danny Filth from fucking Cradle of Filth on it. You have No Change with Matt, who's just on from from Ashes to New, who's just on here. Yeah, it's huge, man. I mean, like, how did that all come about? Do you guys call some people in your Rolodex, or like, what was your thought process there?
What a process it was. Like, there's songs that we make and you hear somebody on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We just got lucky that everybody that we heard on them was like, hey, send the goddamn song. Send a song. We were blown away. We thought we were going to get a bunch of middle fingers, because that's usually what we get in the rap world. They're like, nah, $150,000 and your son. You know what I mean? And I'll do your chorus. Rock isn't like that. It was completely different. Yeah. Everybody's like, send the song. Send the song. Really. I dig your vibe. I dig what you're doing.
And people's process too on how they do stuff was kind of just interesting too, just to look at, like, because how we talked about earlier in the show, how Paul and I have a process of how we work, and it was just interesting to see, for example, Matt B from Ashes to New, like, it was like he would be like sending me these voice messages, and it's like him freestyling, doing his verse. And then he's like, fuck that. That's not it. This is the one. And I'm just blown away. And like the love, dude, the love, the vibe,
the involvement.
I want the involvement. Right. Cause it's like, it's like to work with people that are just, you know, that really just like give a shit. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a different vibe. It's a different world. It's a different kind of community. And I just think that since like the Warped Tour kind of opened us up to that and basically, you know, welcomed us in. And I just think that vibe has carried through, and it's just been a great wave of energy of just a lot of great people all helping each other. Like right. Put somebody on, they get on, they put us on. It's like a give back to the community kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The whole idea of Danny Filth, you guys, makes complete sense, because even in this metal genre, they're so far outside. They're like the outlier, but they always stuck to their guns. And obviously him coming from more of an English horror background and fascination, and you guys coming from American one, I could see him immediately being, I want to get involved with this because it just makes sense. And I don't know how you guys applied his high-pitched, his vocal style.
It worked. Danny was crazy conversating with him and just basically just being like, man, I think I am intrigued as a fan, both of just watching both of our communities and just both of the fan bases. And I think that if we do this, I just think it would be one of the most iconic things in the world. And like, he got it. And he was just like, send it. And the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, just the participation level, and like, we're still approving videos and shit back and forth, you know, cause we got a video for Neon Vamp coming out. So it's like, we're still, you know, engaged in the process as we get closer to the record, you know?
I look weird in this shirt. Like, I don't know. I'd look like I was like a mini Jabba sitting over here. Like,
yeah, hey, can we ask you guys a question?
Absolutely.
Question. This is, her name's Karen, and she wants to know if you could do a song for a soundtrack of a movie that's already played out. What would the movie be?
Any of the Halloweens?
I would say Halloween Kills. I said Halloween Kills. Yes, I was with you. Yeah,
any of them. Give me any of them. Give me the one with Busta
Rhymes. Has the soundtrack for Halloween Kills already been finished? You guys can still sneak in there.
I don't know. I don't think so. And if it is, it's probably just original score. I don't think they do like a lot of that, you know, kind of like The Crow and Spawn were like notorious for having some of the most raddest soundtracks ever because of just
you know, movies in general from the late 90s, early 90s, the 90s movies. If you had a crap soundtrack, we knew your movie sucked. We didn't even go see it.
We'd love to take a stab at like one of them Conjuring movies. I know there's every other second there's a new one of those or a Paranormal Activity. We're up for the challenge. God damn it.
I got another question because I want to know this too. I'm always curious about you guys travel for work and you guys are on the road. What other country or part of the world do you want to go back to because, well, as far as visiting, like what was your favorite country to play in outside of the States?
Two different reasons. First, Amsterdam. And then it was Germany. I've never seen anything like it. We walked into this festival in Germany. There were like 75,000 people all laying on the ground. I didn't know why. And somebody told me it's because they're drunk from the night before or from earlier in the day. I was like, oh, shit, okay. As soon as the guitar started, they started to wake. Zombies from the dead. And all of a sudden, I was watching Rammstein on stage. Never heard of him before. This was like 15 years ago. And then we got to see Black Sabbath and to watch that crowd.
Unbelievable. In a thunderstorm on a hill, me and Monoxide on a hill in front of the fucking artist tent watching Black Sabbath in a thunderstorm. Cannot make that shit up. It was one of the coolest things. That was the highlight of us being over there. And I don't, forgive me if I sound geographically challenged, but I remember, which is not in the States, but we were in London and the love that we got in London, little old us, nobody knew us from anybody. And we got love and I will never forget that. So that would be my place. If I was to go back, I'm just like, I don't know what the love would be like now, but if it was anything like it was then, it's more than enough.
Right. We got to go to Europe because we agreed to be crew instead of stage and all that stuff. So over there, we were just loaders. And then all of a sudden they see us on stage. Like, what? Hey, man, that was
going on, man. Right?
Right.
Hey, man, pay them dues.
Yeah. So I have a question, though. I'd like to know, what was the first horror movie each of you ever saw?
I don't know if you consider it horror. I did, because I'm terrified of deep bodies of water, but I saw Jaws at a drive-in.
It's a horror film. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was it. At the drive-in, my mom and the man she's married to for like 45 years, that's where they went on their date and they took the kids. They thought it'd be a fun movie. Oh, no.
Terrified.
No. Life. Listen to the
but you know that's horror, funny because that falls into what Jamie was talking about, the psychology of fear that plays into certain horror, higher level horror film like The Exorcist we mentioned earlier. There's that the psychological, and just obviously with that movie, Spielberg was such a genius using things like the barrels and the dock as the shark. The damn thing, you just knew something was there, and that psychological that's a killer.
It is.
Yeah.
Whatever's left to the imagination, there's nothing crazier than your imagination.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they leave you a little bit of room to use it, probably going to be bad.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, how about you?
I want to say it was Friday the 13th Part 2, which had that, like, you know, that the previously on Part 1 where you just seen Pamela Voorhees for a quick second. And it was like, it went right into that. And that was kind of like, I want to say that was mine. It was either that or Last House on the Left. And I don't know what the hell I would have been doing sneaking to watch that, because that's like everything but a snuff film. Wes Craven, shout out Wes Craven, rest in peace. What the fuck was going on there? But yeah, two great movies though. Two great ass movies that like show you two like really creepy places. One is the pickup of the Friday the 13th storyline, and the other one is just, oh shit.
Yeah. Was two
looks like it could really happen.
Yeah. Was number two, which one was Corey Feldman in?
Four and five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because three was the 3D one, right? Part three was 3D.
Three was 3D. Three's the first time he gets the hockey mask too. Gets it from Shelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It just
from the house. Yeah.
It goes from there, man. That's when it really gets good. But yeah, there's some funny gags in that too.
I have a question.
Okay.
So this is kind of like, let's just call this our the plank section, because these questions are really great. I think they're great for this section. But so we do this little part in the podcast where it's called Walk the Plank, and usually just ask questions, and it's random questions that have nothing to do with music. And mine is that. So I wanted to know if either one. So I'll start with, well, whoever wants to go first. Do you possess any qualities of your astronomical sign? Also, what's your sign?
According to my daughter, spot on. I'm a Cancer. And then, you know, it's something about the night moon and the waves of the water and the sway of the trees. And she broke my personality down to exactly me. It was weird because they say Cancers are like passive and really sweet people. And I'm like, I have this side to me. And she was like, because you have a Taurus moon. And that means that like you care about the way that you dress, and just weird. It was bizarre, but I was like, yeah, that sounds like me. Yeah, that'd be like a bug. Like, again, like that was, I was blown away. So I'm a Cancer. My favorite things are bowling, fast food, and hanging out with my friends.
I love that. I love that. Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm a Scorpio. I want to say that there's some of the attributes supposed
to go with time.
Yeah. I'm an extrovert, but I'm introvert. Well, yeah, I'm very stubborn. Yeah.
You're very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Those are traits in a.
I don't like saying these things about myself. It makes me feel conceited.
Right. No. It's bizarre.
But yeah,
that's something I never paid attention to until she said so.
Yeah. I want to say, you know, that very passionate about stuff. Like a lot of the stuff that we do happens to be passion projects. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff, to where it's like no matter hell or high water on the plank, so to speak. See what I did there? Still, it's going to happen. We're going to make it happen because we say it, we're doing it, you know, kind of vibe. So, yeah.
I have a question, and this is not really walk the plank. This is more of just a no worries. Yes or kind of no. Or do you, both of you, Jack the Ripper, still alive or no?
Yes, but not the real one. He's been cloned by the Germans and left to roam around Saudi Arabia.
He had me for a second. He had me for a second because I was like, "Holy shit, that was deep." Yes, he's alive. If it was more than one person, if it was a conspiracy, then yes, he's still alive, or somebody was still alive. I want to say no, though. I think he died a long time ago. I really do.
He's not part of the like from hell where they made him a Mason.
I don't know. Now, if you're talking about Zodiac, that's a whole nother vibe right there.
That right there is more than one person. You know what? That's a really good, God damn, that's a really good subject to sit on.
That's definitely, if you're going to go there and say it, but I would say that I get more cult vibes from that than I do.
Is that Son of Sam, Zodiac?
No. Zodiac was the, like he would leave like all of these like letters and shit telling, and you'd have to do like the Sunday paper and you'd like have to transcribe all of his shits, and he would like the original people to taunt the authorities and shit, and
I think he was the precursor to the Night Stalker.
Interesting.
Fair.
That's
very close to
the Night Stalker. Yeah.
Richard Ramirez, yeah.
Richard Ramirez. I think Son of Sam was David Berkowitz.
Yeah, Berkowitz, yeah. Remember he talked to his dog. His dog told him to kill people.
It was like a group of people, and they all, FYI.
I have heard that theory as well. I have heard that theory as well, which is very crazy. And it's like you get into that, it gets interesting. Yeah, see, there you are. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
There's a really good new documentary about this book. It's just the whole thing that we're talking about now.
That's crazy. No, that's great. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, there's some different and interesting angles after all these years. You know what I mean? That kind of make a little more sense to some of the things that didn't connect, so to speak. But yeah, no, that's very interesting.
Yeah. I have a Shiprock related question, Justin, and then I'll leave you to whatever your vices are. Have either of you ever played a concert on a cruise ship or any sort of like vessel that would be on a buoyancy vessel, you know?
No, but we had to travel on ferry, and that was amazing. There was a duty free store. You could go and buy all kind of stuff with no tax. It was insane.
Steagles
came out there with cigarettes and liquor, and they were like, they're American. Well, I was like, you're goddamn right. Get out of my way. Like, it was insane. That thing was huge. It was like a moving city. There were cars and buses parked on it. The first 30 minutes, I just stood there.
I got left on one of those. It was awful.
Everything.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
I was gonna answer a question from one of our Shiprockers, Katie Crane. Katie wants to know, hey, are you guys ever going to be on Shiprock? Katie, I'm going to answer that. We had this discussion before we went on here. Yes, at some point, they will be part of our lineup. Not in 2022. We're already there, but you know, going forward, the gentleman at Twisted will be joining us on one of our ships, and it's quite the duty free shop, by the way. So you guys are going to be.
See, you got him. He's already calling himself captain, so he's already fit
there. He's going to miss his set time because he's too busy shopping.
Right, guys, absolutely.
Can we talk about real quick the event you got coming on this weekend? It's your fourth annual Astronomicon. I assume that's a takeoff on the Book of the Dead from Evil Dead.
Actually, I'll give you the truth. Here it is. This is the behind the scenes thing with Astronomicon. We knew we were going to do a con. We knew we needed a name. It took us 2 years to come up with the name for a record label. So we brought in other people and we're like, hey, let's powwow it. And Justin was like, Astronomicon. And that was it. After a couple hours of people shooting names, somehow he said that, and we all were like, ding.
That's awesome.
That's great. Can you tell some folks about, I mean, if you guys are in the area and you are going, you have tickets, or can you get some folks out there who aren't familiar with what this thing is?
It's a pop culture event. It's going down at the Sheridan in Ann Arbor, Michigan this weekend. We have everybody from the likes of Bill Moseley, Kane Hodder. We got AEW wrestling stars, Sammy Guevara, Darby
Corey Taylor's there. Michael Berryman's there.
Yeah,
Mick
man.
Foley's there.
Mick Foley.
Conti's there. There's
Conti, yes.
It's insane. We're there.
Right. It's a celebration.
I'm going to go there, so that's...
Yeah, see? Chad can be there.
And there's great vendors, and there's seminars, and there's free throw shooting this year against me. I'm going to bury a couple of kids out there because they don't know what they're getting into.
Script reads. We do a script read. That's right. Fun. Yep.
There's all kinds of stuff.
A lot of fun.
So, guys, if you guys are interested in video, the video lifestyle, gaming, horror, music, it sounds like the whole kit and caboodle. Check it out, Astronomicon. Can you go there? Can they go to twisted.com or to find out more information about this for maybe their...
You can visit it, but if you want to go to astronomicon.com, there's the 3-day schedule is up, how to buy tickets, lodging around town for, you know, to show you what's sold out and what's not. They're pretty on top of their stuff. And for a better, more inclusive lineup of everybody, we just named a few of you know, the ones that we're just jonesing to see because we're excited, right, just like everybody else.
That's so just the stuff we're doing.
They didn't say Corey Taylor. Corey Taylor's Slipknot will be there.
I did say
too.
Corey Taylor.
Yeah. Did you say? I'm sorry.
I did.
Fair enough.
Right? It was like, dude, no.
Spencer Charnas of Ice Nine Kills. He will be there straight up. He was on Rift.
It's a stacked list of people that
it's going to be a good time.
And obviously last week, guys, if you pay attention to last week, we had Mr. Bill Moseley on here last week. So this is a nice tie-in. And also come September 10th, you want to tell folks about the new record?
A Likely Prescription. Yeah, man. We're excited.
We're trading the rock world. We went, we bought drums, we bought guitars, we bought basses, and we figured out we couldn't play none of that shit. So we went and got people that could. And me and Jamie wrote some shit, and we're going to blow your fucking minds. I promise you that.
It's the first time in our career that we've ever had any type of radio success with anything. So, and that started with Rose Petal, and it's kept on all the way through Envy. So I can't sing enough holy shits about it. Me and Paul are excited. It's a new day for us, and we hope you enjoy it. 9/10/21, Unlikely Prescription.
Right. All right. So September 10th, Unlikely Prescription. That sounds like the perfect foray into the Halloween season. So that might be the first record you pick up to get yourselves in the mood for that. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time tonight. We really, really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for indulging my horror fan.
No worries. Weirdness. It was a blast.
I appreciate that.
Love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Guys, remember to check out everything that's going on with Twist. You can go to twist.com, check out all their social pages to see what's happening. And we want to thank gentlemen, for joining us. And we also want to thank the people who make this show work. And that includes our show producer, Al McManus, our show engineer, Jennifer Pizzito, our show coordinator, Heather Smith. Is it Heather Smith? Yeah, it is Heather Smith. Sorry, man. I'm in a brain fucking fog, dude. I'll tell you, it's killing me. Yeah, Heather Smith. And then obviously the captain, Alan Koenig. See, Paulie, there is another captain, so you guys are going to have to battle for supremacy on that one.
I am there if you need me. I am not there to start trouble.
In a pinch? Give him a call.
That's right.
And obviously, I want to thank the host, Chad Niceville, the host of the Shiprock 2022 coming up. And hey, Chad, real quick, did you guys just have some yellow vinyl come out for Wilson?
Oh, we did. Yes, that was very nice of you to mention. We just re-released our first record, Full Blast Fuckery, on a beautiful yellow vinyl, the color of my dog, Carl's semen. And you can get that at velocityrecords.com.
Wow. There you go.
Oh, I love your high voice, too. You look like a little bit, nobody even noticed.
No, they're looking at me like, yeah, you...
Anyway. All right. Listen, Jamie, Paulie, thank you again, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a much successful weekend, and we look forward to the record coming out. And obviously, we'll see you guys in the ship in the near future.
Thank you, guys, man.
Thank you, everyone out there. Jill, you won tonight. So thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you guys again next week with a whole new featured guest. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Hey, you. Did you have any plans this year? Ha! How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-d.com, soundtalentmedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.